Got a little trouble there, Barker. Moving the chair around a bit. That's the first sign of old age, you know.
Is it?
Yeah. Inability to. Well,
you'd know.
Inability to be. I'm mobile. Know. I'm mobile.
Number one, you're old.
You're not old.
We will be joined later on in the show by the person who owns that voice, Jeff Passan. He'll join us later on in Blair and Barker.
He did say that to you, didn't he?
He did say. He says that to me all the time.
That's, I would never say that about you.
He's short.
Ever.
He is very short.
Yes.
Jeff Passan joins us. John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, also joins us later on in the show. Pardon me. And Gordon Beckham, White Sox analyst, joins us. The White Sox are in town for the first of three games against the Blue Jays. The Jays making a lineup. Now, not a lineup move, a roster move today. Nick Sandlin.
That's a big one.
Will be activated. Is it Jacob Brule goes down? Josh Brule?
You got whatever. It, buddy.
He was here quick.
Whichever one.
Whatever one. They can send both of them out. No, he's back. He's out. Sent down
afraid
to
write his name down.
He sent down to AAA. So Nick Sandlin will be available. Today.
It's Justin, by the way.
Justin? Close. Jacob, Justin.
Starting with a J.
At least didn't call him
Daniel. He was decent.
At least didn't call him Daniel Brule. Daniel Brule's an actor.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so Nick Sandlin will be back. And not a day too soon, given the workload the Blue Jays middle relievers have been dealing with. And quite frankly, given the inconsistency of Chad Green, Eric Swanson has already been DFA'd, and I would think that at some point a decision will be made in Chad Green. If it's me, I'm trying to trade him, get something for him, and move on. But that I don't have to do that until Jimmy Garcia comes back. Mm-hmm. We're led to believe that's progressing nicely.
Yep.
And there you go. So you get Jimmy Garcia and Nick Sandlin back. That ought to restore a little order to the bullpen.
Well, it takes a little pressure off Little and Fluharty, right? I mean, they've been basically abusing those two dudes as many times as possible. But, you know, it's warranted because they've been really good.
Yeah.
But they need Sandlin, right? I mean, Sandlin can get a lefty out just like he can get a righty out. It's a big deal, right? He can throw multiple innings. I don't know if they want him doing that when he first comes back. But the point is, right, I mean, it takes just a little bit of pressure off of those two guys. You know, I know Little's been changing up routines and, you know, not throwing the weighted ball as much just because he's been abused. I mean, dude, he's flipping breaking balls that are bouncing 3 feet in front of the plate. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not his fault. He's out there for one reason, is to punch a bunch of people out. And, you know, whenever he comes to the game, that's sort of his role. You know, it just takes a little pressure off everybody. It sort of slots everybody maybe down a spot, which is not the worst of things, right? I mean, you know, Hoffman hasn't been used as much lately, which helps a lot, right? If you have to go to him more than three outs,
Kevin,
you could do that. They're getting better, which is a great thing.
I wonder if part of the trickle-down effect here isn't that we see Yariel Rodriguez get some save opportunities here.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, John sort of, you know, when I think it was me that asked, was it me or you? I can't remember who asked him, but, you know, I think he said, if Hoffman's not available, he made sure he mentioned those sort of three or four words just to, you know, not cause any friction between the guy paid to come in and pitch the ninth inning or the highest leverage of the innings. I'm okay with any of them. I mean, I like
Yariel
throws really hard, and he can get a lefty out, which is a big deal, right? I mean, he can self-correct on the mound, which is, you know, something we haven't seen a ton from him, but he's starting to do that a little bit more. He's trusting stuff. He likes the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning,
which
is a big deal, right? Mentally, you got to buy into that. He's found the routine off the field. Why do you think you're seeing him, you know, maybe throwing the fourth or the fifth inning, trying to get ready, get loose? So when he runs out of the pen, the first batter, he's letting it eat. Boy, it's going where he wants it to go, which is a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, all that stuff just sort of adds up to, you know, they fixed their lineup. They got the big boy in the three hole, which is a big deal. You know, they're starting to get some, you know, dudes back that, and I will say dudes back that will help them from the seventh inning on, which is even a bigger deal. So, yeah, everything's sort of falling in place, right? They're going to need it. I mean, the schedule's not getting any easier with Cleveland, Boston, and the Yankees coming up. So
it sounds like Farshall's closer than Anthony Santander.
I have no idea what's wrong with Tony. I mean, Tony just,
it's a shoulder issue, right?
Well, I mean, really. Well, yeah, is it? Like, it's, you know, he played for quite some time after running into the wall. I mean, it was the shoulder, it was the hip, and, you know, it's just been – You know, it's sort of like the, you know, the Sandlin thing seemed like it was a little bit worse than everybody let on, which, again, you know, they're not going to tell us everything
we
want to know.
I think you also, when you talk about any sort of lateral, like pitching injury involving any sort of lateral muscle or that, I think you just, maybe you don't know. Those are, especially given the way he pitches, given his delivery, it's just about the worst spot you could injure. So.
And with Tony too, right? They're 6-1 in their last 7 series. And since May 28th, they're 14-6, which is the best record in the American League, which is a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, whenever you got some of the guys that you're counting on the most is, you know, going through some things, it helps a little bit when everybody else is picking up the slack. And that's exactly what's happened.
Do we let's put a bow on that Diamondback series, if we could. The Diamondbacks beating the Jays 9-5 yesterday to avoid the sweep. Kevin Gausman walking an awful lot of batters. It's not been a good June for Kevin. He's 0-2. His ERA is 7.65. I believe he's got 12 or 13 walks right now. Not what we've come to expect from Kevin Gausman. Other than that, there really, for me at least, there was no major takeaway from that game. Alejandro Kirk
hitting the ball the other way
would be the other thing.
That's a huge deal. And Vladdy looks more comfortable in the three hole. I mean, if you want to take away anything, just the way he walks from the on deck circle to his at bats look different. Now, does he like the fastball in? I mean, that's something he needs to fix.
Hitting first, second, or third.
Yeah, I mean, that's still a little bit of an issue too, right? I mean, that's something just timing wise. I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. You know, sometimes dudes need Plan B. Yeah, you know, it's certain zones and certain locations at certain speeds where you're just not getting a head out. Occasionally you need Plan B, but who am I? I mean, I don't make $500 million. He can do whatever he wants to do. It's just I think there's some good takeaways there. It is very hard, you know, even at home to sweep good offensive teams. Just really hard, right? I mean, everything has to go right. You have to have really 3 good starts in a row, yep, which is just a lot to ask, right? I mean, Kevin's arm for me looks a little old. I say that with, you know, as much respect as I can possibly say, because I would buy a ticket to watch this dude throw. I do. I'm a huge fan of Kevin's. I just think it is amazing that we don't see this more often. I mean, just the things and the conversations that me and you've had around people that, you know, deal with Kevin on an everyday basis. And he's got natural run. You can see it if you're watching it on TV right there. He wants to go away with it. He wants to go up a little bit more with it just because of the arm slot. He has a little natural run with it, right? Sometimes when he's getting run, he overthrows it. That's why you see the slider looking more like a curveball. You know, to see the split finger not splitting the way he wants it to. It was running yesterday. Even John, after the game, said something about because the wind was blowing and the roof open, that's why the ball's running a little bit more than usual. So, you know, I mean, again, you know, it is, I think they are sort of honing in on, you got to pitch ahead because you only have 2 pitches. You know, you got to attack. It looked to me like at least yesterday coming out of the pen, they knew it was running more than usual. Maybe they saw the wind. Maybe they felt the wind. Maybe just for whatever reason, it was one of those days to where you could tell it was more away than north and south. They knew going into it that he'd had to make it a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, again, man, that dude has thrown Jeff a lot. Like, it's just every once in a while when you got 2 pitches, just ain't going to work. Like, everything has to be almost perfect for him to go out and be dominant.
And you know, let's also mention that he was facing a really good lineup as well. Now, yeah. Corbin Carroll wasn't in the lineup, but the lineup's still really good.
Suarez is a run producer, right? I mean, you make a minor mistake, you know, it's a game of inches for... It's
tough, though. I mean...
It's tough.
That's Suarez is a guy that Gausman has owned throughout his career. 3-16. And...
He's a 230 hitter. I mean, a lot of dudes have owned him. He's more of a big part of the field. You know, you make a mistake in that certain day, he's showing up. You know, he looks to me like he's an educated guesser. You know, he's got a little Springer in him. Like, you know, the Springer of last year, not so much the Springer of this year. Mm-hmm. You know, this Springer here is looking more heater, adjusting and everything else. Athletically, he's getting ready to hit velocity, which is an even bigger deal. But, yeah, I mean, again, it just, I think, gets back to that. You know, the GM for this team at the trade deadline has got some heavy lifting to do. I know Garcia's coming back. I know it's nice to see Sandlin back. For me, they still need another 8th-inning guy, just so they don't have to abuse the 2 lefties. Flew Hardy, I mean, what are you going to get second half of the season? You know, it's still a little unknown there. You don't know what you're going to get. Little, I mean, what's Little going to look like? Can he consistently throw it in the zone enough to get you in swing mode? I know his stuff's off the charts. For me, they still need an eighth inning guy. And do they need a number two? And how would, if you do need it, how would you get it? I really don't have one. I said this to you yesterday. Who, you know, if everything's lined up the way it's supposed to be lined up, who's going game one of a playoff series against, say, I don't know, we'll throw out the Rays or the, I don't know, maybe the Twinkies or the Guardians. Who's getting the ball?
It's got to be Berríos.
I don't know. I just don't think there's the right answer. I mean,
let's keep in mind that if a guy gets hot down the stretch, I mean, that factors into it as well.
Maybe.
So if Gossman rattles off four or five good starts down the stretch, and he would, I think you go with your hottest hand.
Okay.
Now, it depends on what do you do if that last game of the regular season determines whether or not you make the playoffs? Like, it's kind of a silly game.
Let's not lie. And again, I say this with all due respect because I love all three guys. They got three number three guys. On really good teams, all three of them dudes would be number threes. They ain't really got a true number one or two who basically the khakis can get out of the way and go, here's the ball, let's see how long you can take us. I mean, you know, it's going to be more of that, oh, there's three lefties second time through that he can't throw against. It'll be a little bit of that. That's what I'm saying. You know, again, it's all due respect because I'm a big fan of all three, and they have been toting the hill every single time that John gives the ball or anybody else is giving them the ball. So you got to respect that. I just, you know, stuff-wise, and basically it's me against you, mano y mano. That's why I said, and I'll say it, and I'm going to keep saying it, is the GM probably will have to be the MVP of the team with the heavy lifting that he has to do come trade deadline. How he gets it, because he needs it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think it's any secret that the Jays are going to have to be active at the trade deadline. Again, let's see what Max Scherzer gives them.
Mm.
You know, the trade deadline is 6 weeks away. There's plenty of time. Let's see what Max Scherzer gives them. Let's see where those other guys are. It is remarkable how often in baseball stuff takes care of itself. Somebody gets hurt and all of a sudden you have a need you didn't think you had. What I've seen recently that gives me more confidence is the fact that I'm kind of sort of okay right now without having to go out and add another hitter. Yeah, it'd be great if you. Yeah, and I suppose you can go to the deadline. You can add somebody that fits a certain type, right? You can add like I always use the Ben Revere example in 2015. You can add a guy that fills a certain need for you off the bench, in terms of a position player. But I think your lineup's okay enough right now that you can focus on pitching. Again, that could change, but right now the focus has to be in pitching. So that to me is a positive. The fact that I think we may have answered one question, and hopefully when Santander and Varsho get back, the answer is even more apparent. So that does allow you to focus on pitching. And with one of the things this front office has done well, people don't like to give them credit for a lot of things, but one of the things they have done well is they've gone out and added pitching.
Yeah, but they haven't added a number two. That's the
Robbie Ray was added.
Yeah, he wasn't when they added him. I mean, he turned into that. Because he got around Petey, and Petey made mechanical changes and simplified things and, you know, flipped him on one side of the rubber than the other side of the rubber. I mean, again, I'm not taking anything away from what Robbie did or what the front office has done, but I'm saying some heavy lifting's got to be done, right? The game one starter for me is not here.
Oh, I think
that is, I think, where it's at now because of the way the team looks offensively, what they do defensively, who they're going to get back in their bullpen. For me, they're a playoff team. Now you start thinking about, well, how do you refine winning a playoff series? Probably not. You may not win a division, which will sort of force you having to win two of the three games right out the gate. Who's pitching game one? I mean, you feel comfortable with Kevin going to Tampa and throwing game one? Not me. Berríos, game one? Not
me. How many?
Anybody? The Twins? Gossman against the Twins? I mean, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, you know, sort of after you win game one and you can throw any three of them dudes. Absolutely. And I'm not taking anything away from them three dudes because I love them. But, I mean, it's just, again, when you watch them, the things they go through, how hard they have to work, the mechanical changes they have to make consistently, which, well, they will do whatever it takes
whenever they have to do it to get it done, which is awesome to watch. But it will help, though, having the big boy in the three hole starting to stomp things. But out of help. And Barger looks comfortable.
Yeah, you're still going to, but you are right. You're still going to need more pitching.
But it might help if you went out. Maybe it might be, you know, a little bit too much to ask because of what you wouldn't have to give up to get a true number two. So maybe you add a couple of more, you know, seventh and eighth inning guys in the pen. Maybe that's what you do.
You know, I will also say this, though, too. It is remarkable when you start doing some reading and you start sort of looking around at what some of the national writers are saying about the Blue Jays farm system. I wouldn't be as dismissive anymore as we've been in the past. I think there is a sense that the Blue Jays farm system is on the up and up, that it's probably moving closer to a middle-ranked farm system.
Namala has something to do with that.
Yesavage
has a huge thing to do with that. Who else?
Yeah. Well, there are
others. I mean, eye the beholder. That's what I think. I mean, you know, you can flip it any way you want to flip it on its end. There, you would think they'd probably have to give up a big leaguer to get truly what they want to get, maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on how much they want to get.
I don't know what big leaguer.
I don't either, but this is, again, gets back to that MVP of the team.
Jonathan Class A going to get you something?
I don't know. Package not with somebody else. But, again, I mean, he plays decent defense in center field with what Varsha's been through.
Yeah, you know? You got Miles Straw. You can move off Class A if you want.
What I'm saying, you do what you have to do to win a game. But I think they've sort of, at least for me on the outside looking in, you're starting to almost be able to refine it to the point now. It's a very small window on what you're looking and what you think you need going forward.
Yeah,
because of what the offense is doing. When's the last time we heard John come on and go, man, with the way our offense is, we're never out of a game? When have you ever heard John say that?
I think
heard it say it last yesterday.
I think that you know, there will be enough out there at the trade deadline in terms of the Zach Gallons and the Merrill Kellys of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, although I would suggest, I don't know if Merrill Kelly's necessarily my game one starter in a playoff series.
Yeah.
But there will be free agent eligible pitchers out there that won't cost you as much. I'm not certain, you know, I don't think Dylan Cease, there's not going to be a Dylan Cease out there. I don't think this year.
And you got to remember too, with what the big three have done for this organization the last 4 or 5 years, it will be real hard not to pitch one of them in game one. It'd be real tough.
Yeah, although I don't think that's...
I don't think that's...
I mean, depending on who it is. You know, again, if it's a guy who was somebody else's number two that you're pitching instead of one of those three, I can see it. But if it's somebody who's an ace, if it is a Dylan Cease, I'm just using Dylan Cease as an example. I don't think anybody's going to sit there and say, well, I can't believe that they're starting Dylan Cease over me. And I don't think that's the way it works. I think guys want to win enough. Guys will be smart enough to realize that.
I think it might be silly to even mention a name like that. That's my point.
Yeah, but I, you know, I'm just that. Now you got me. This is what you were talking about. Well, this is what you were talking about. You've been the one sitting there saying they don't have somebody to start a playoff series.
That's it.
And I'm telling you that's the type of guy it's going to take. Is Merrill Kelly better than what you have?
Not really.
Okay. Well, there's more Merrill Kellys out there than Dylan Ceases.
Fair.
So
not disagreeing with you.
You know, that's but again, if you get that number one guy, I don't think Bassett or Gossman are gonna sit there and complain that they're not getting
it. It's almost like it'd be more important to get the big boy hitting in the three hole now, you know, raring and ready to go to catch up the velocity in and get Tony to doing something.
I think those two things happen.
Well, oh boy.
I think these guys want to win.
I don't think
they really care who gets the start. They want to win.
To a certain extent.
Nah, you hear the stuff that Bassett's saying in that. These guys
want
to win.
Well, Bassett ain't getting the ball again.
These guys want to win. I don't think they really care who gets. I mean, I can't believe we're even talking about that.
Well, because, yeah,
June,
their lineup's
June,
better.
Whatever.
Their lineup's better. The American League is what the American League is.
Right.
Yeah.
John Schneider will join us in a few minutes. We'll also be joined by Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan has a terrific article up on ESPN. On the Boston Red Sox drama, and I tweeted out a link to it. It's it's something else, man. A lot of reporting went into it, and a lot of the reporting does not make Craig Breslau look very good, to say the least. So we'll be joined by Jeff at 5. We'll talk about that. Gordon Beckham is a former White Sox second baseman. He's a current White Sox TV analyst. The White Sox have made a change, by the way. Davis Martin is not starting tonight. He's been scratched. Grant Taylor is a right-hander. We'll get the start for the Chicago White Sox against the Blue Jays. That will be a 7:07 first pitch right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. So let's step away, and when we come back, we'll be joined by the manager, John Schneider. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Friday. Blair and Parker. We will be along following tonight's game against the the White Sox with Blue Jays. Blue Jays talk.
If I can't complain, you can't either.
Okay. Well, some of us had to stick around and do a whole show yesterday.
Yeah, it was 15 minutes. Wow. That was tough, I bet.
Tough? How was the meeting of the Alejandro Kirk Appreciation Society, by the way?
I think it's one of the better meetings I've ever had.
It was. Was it good?
It was, you know, when you're doing things, you know, the other way like Kirk's doing, somebody's got to lead the charge.
That's good.
Might as well be me.
What type of food was served?
Filet.
Yeah. Very good. Filet to the opposite field, right?
Oh, man. Not with them. Oh, boy.
Anyhow, that's...
He's doing his part for sure.
Oh, he is. That contract is.
I mean, let's turn.
Pretty good.
Okay, we'll turn the page on that for, you know, about 3 months.
Some of us thought it was the worst contract in Jay's history. Somebody's saying
it is amazing though how much harder he is hitting the ball the other way. We haven't seen that a lot from him, which is. You know, just a testament to what he's done with his lower half and whatever conditioning that he was doing, you know, throwing the weighted balls against the, you know, the side of the buildings and Florida.
Why would you throw a weighted ball against the side of the building? It's not going to bounce back, idiot.
Nobody else there to catch him. Whatever he was doing, man, it worked because he's working, dude. I mean, something else.
Reach from the loins of experience.
Yeah. Know what he's slugging on fastballs up and away, Jeff?
No, what?
1455. I didn't even know it went that high. That's amazing. It's hitting 489 on fastballs up and away. 489. It's almost like you would think the khakis would say stop throwing him there. I'm saying. I mean, them numbers there. But give him credit. I mean, he sort of talks them into throwing it there, right? I mean, he'll let them throw something down and away because he knows what zone that he likes. He's found his happy zone. He's found when he gets his foot down, when he gets better rotation with his lower half, when his bat is level as it has been, that if they throw it here and he lets them, that's his ball down the middle. Mm-hmm. Give him credit. Hammers that thing, boy.
That's why they pay him the money.
I mean, basically, the only thing you have to ever add to a Kirky conversation is the $58 million that they paid him. That's basically the only thing you ever have to add.
Only one person on this show said they thought it was a good contract at the time. The other person said it was.
Actually, I don't think that's what you said. I think what you said was that would have no bearing on what they're going to do going forward.
That makes it a good contract.
You didn't really say anything.
You keep the player happy.
You basically said, who cares what they pay?
No. That's basically what you said. You keep the player happy. You keep the player happy, and it doesn't have an impact on what you do down the road. That's a great contract.
He's making them look like geniuses, for sure.
He is indeed.
Hopefully he keeps doing it.
Speaking of geniuses, it is Friday, which gives us a chance to talk to the manager of the Blue Jays, John Schneider. Very pleased to be joined by the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Schneider. John, as always, we thank you for your time. And as always, and hopefully at some point this list will get shorter, if you could walk us through some of the status of some of the injured players.
Yeah, for sure. Good to chat with you guys as always. Thanks for having me. Running down the list, Max kind of continuing to feel as expected. He was a little bit sore yesterday. Hoping to have him throw a pen here tomorrow and kind of go from there. Still kind of day to day to see when he's going to be back with us. Or if he needs one more outing, not quite sure yet. We'll see after his bullpen tomorrow. Varsh ran the bases yesterday down in Florida, which is kind of the last step in terms of checking boxes before he gets into game action down there. Yimmy threw a live BP yesterday and felt good. So next step for him will be probably game action early next week, also in Florida. Ryan Burr expected to pitch in AAA tomorrow for an inning. Nick Sandlin is here. He's going to be activated today. Justin Brule is going to be optioned back to Buffalo. And nothing new on Tony. He's down in Florida throwing but not hitting yet. And Bowden had a cortisone injection in his shoulder 3 days ago, so he's down from throwing for another couple days, and we'll kind of reevaluate him then.
So now that you have Nick Sandlin back, I would imagine any time's a good time to get to get an injured reliever back, but especially given the workload some of your seventh and eighth inning guys have been given this year, this is a timely return to say the least, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You it's easy to get off the relievers, when you and guys have stepped up. He can offer so much versatility versus righties and lefties. So definitely, nice to have him back and take the strain off of some other guys that are getting run out there pretty regularly.
John, well, we all, I think, know that you're a genius. Obviously, I think you were listening to Blair and Barker maybe, I think, Thursday and Friday. Me and Jeff were talking about the lineup and maybe moving Vladdy to the 3-0. I joke, but I think you what I'm trying to say is the numbers will sort of back up how comfortable he looks and just sort of the things he does in the 3-0. Is this a thing going forward that we're going to consistently see him hitting in the 3-0?
Yeah, me, Kev. I just based my lineup after, how your conversations with Jeff go, basically day by day. I'm just listening. I think having Vladdy in the first inning, it's a win-win, right? Whether it's two or three. And I think having Addy do what he's doing and kind of separates Bo and Vlad a little bit, a different look, righty lefty. In order to do it, you kind of have to feel comfortable with what people are doing around him too, or around those two. And Addy's been certainly swinging the bat really, really well. So, Vlad, we have conversations in spring. We've had conversations throughout the season, and we know what his numbers are hitting third as opposed to hitting anywhere else. And it's just somewhere where he's comfortable. And at the end of the day, Vladdy's probably the biggest part of our team, right? 14-year deal and a lot of money, and we can work around him a little bit if he's comfortable there, and he's for whatever reason, I think that just happens to players, whether they're comfortable in a spot or comfortable starting as opposed to relieving. You want to be in tune with that. So I think you can expect to see him there. And, again, I think it kind of goes hand in hand with what people are doing around him too.
Yeah. You mentioned Barger. How do you think he's handled from moving from third base to right field?
Man, he's been good. It's not easy, to bounce between, infield and outfield. And, I think he's handled it great. I think he's handled playing every day great and kind of being thrust in the middle of our lineup great. So he's a confident guy. And I think when you're seeing results, confidence only grows. And the bounce back and forth is tough. But yeah, I think that he's getting the work, that he needs to get in. He's pretty on top of it with Bud, with Carlos. And he's still, it's nice to have the ability to kind of move him around in game too. I think he's done a great job so far.
John, obviously people are going to be paying attention to him against left-handed pitching, especially at this stage of his career. What is it about his approach that makes you think that he'll be able to handle lefties and that he will be an everyday guy for you?
You cut out a little bit. You're talking about Barger, I think?
Yes, about his ability to handle left-handed pitching. What is it? About his approach that helps him?
I think, I always say that guys that kind of play every day in the minors, they're facing lefties and righties. They're facing them quite a bit. I think what he's kind of turned the corner on, this year as opposed to last year is, you know, not just against lefties, but I think against certain pitchers, you know, having a really, really convicted approach against them and kind of seeing where his swing best plays against each kind of pitch. And, you know, eliminating areas or eliminating pitches or even sitting on some pitches in certain situations where I don't think he had the confidence to do last year. You know, I think that he always trusted his ability, but I think kind of just saying, okay, this is what this guy does. Here's where his stuff is going to attack that, you know, as a result. So it's been cool to kind of see that process, you know, get a little bit better.
So, yeah, you know, John, I don't think we're so surprised about Kirky, you know, breaking the way he is, but I do think, at least me, I'm surprised the way, you know, he's hitting the ball the other way with as much authority as he's doing it. What do you think's allowed him to do that?
Man, good question. I mean, that's kind of the last step here, I think, for a hitter, you know, to kind of be driving the ball out of the ballpark opposite field. Man, he's continuing to impress us, you know. I think with just he's another guy. He's taken some intentful swings, man. You know, I think that he's obviously comfortable and confident. He's controlling the zone really well still. But the other way, I mean, I think that's just a credit to him and the work that he's put in. You know, it's you can go to all the underlying numbers in terms of bat speed and things like that, but I mean, I think that he's just kind of figured out some areas where he can do a little bit more than he's done in the past and tap into a little bit more power than what we've seen. So it's just been cool to kind of see him figure it out. And really, I think he's always hit the ball to all fields. But the power the other way has been really impressive.
Last one, John, before we let you go. I know you know the numbers with Gausman in his last four starts. What do you think he needs to do to get back on track?
Yeah, I mean, I said this last night after his outing. You know, his stuff has been the same. His stuff, you know, kind of if you just look at the profile of fastball, slider, split, it's been the same. And I think with Kev, you know, he's really damn good when he's getting ahead of hitters and dominating 1-1 counts or 0-1 counts, getting to 0-2. And then his stuff just becomes that much more, you know, it's just a little bit tougher to sit on one or the other, fastball or split, you know. So he's kind of found himself, you know, in some, you know, not great counts. And I think you got to come over the middle of the plate a little bit more. And that's what we've seen. When you look at Kev, you know, since we've had him, he's always up there, top guys in the league with first pitch strike percentage. And I think over the past handful of starts, that's dipped down a little bit. And as has kind of those middle counts to where he's really getting ahead of hitters consistently. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's not stuff. You know, he feels good. So it's just getting into better counts and letting the stuff do what it does.
John, I promise you this will be the last question, but is Kevin also, because he's pitched a lot of innings and you know, there's, let's face it, there's a lot of video in that out there. Is he the type of guy that's going to have to be tinkering a little bit the rest of his career just to come up with something new? Nothing major, but, you know, just something new.
Right. I mean, I think that he did that last year, kind of, you know, exploring, if you will, with a sinker and, the slider has a different shape this year than it does last year. So, you know, Kev, like guys that are, you know, veteran pitchers, they're always trying to find ways to, you know, either keep up with or get in front of the curve and getting in front of the curve of the adjustments that hitters are going to make. So right now with him, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot of tinkering. I think it really just comes down to being aggressive in the zone. That sounds really simple and really easy. I think that, you know, we do a fairly good job of kind of evaluating stuff and seeing how it's going to play. And his stuff plays when he's ahead in counts. And, you know, you could say that about anyone, but you can certainly say it about Kev, you know, with the fastball and the split. So it's I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think you're going to see, you know, anything different from a mechanical standpoint, a delivery standpoint, a pitch shape standpoint. He's just got to, you know, get back to being, you know, here's my best stuff, you know, early and middle in counts, and hopefully get ahead of some hitters.
John, we do appreciate your time. We appreciate your patience as well. Thank you so much for doing this, and go get them.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Always good talking to you.
That was John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays. We taped that interview a little earlier today, so and there were some technical issues. So we do thank John for his patience in hanging in. Nobody's fault. It was just one of those things. But we appreciate John hanging in with us and answering our questions. And because of those issues, we couldn't get to the caller question. So actually, we will keep the caller question until next week because it was a pardon me. It was a good question. So there you go. The Jays have now made their lineup moves, roster moves, official. Nick Sandlin has been activated off the IL. Also, Nathan Lucas has come off the concussion IL. He went on a couple of days ago. And I think in his last game for Buffalo, he had like five RBI or something like that. So Nathan Lucas has been reinstated from the seven-day IL. Will Robertson and Justin Brule have been optioned to AAA. The Jays lineup for tonight is as follows. Bichette, Barger, Guerrero, Springer DHing, Jimenez, Clement, Lucas, Heinemann, Class A, Spencer Turnbull on the mound. So Alejandro Kirk gets the day off. At least doesn't start tonight. Tyler Heinemann catching Spencer Turnbull. What do you expect from Spencer? We didn't ask John about this, but what do you expect from Spencer Turnbull?
Yeah, I mean, it looked to me like the last time that he threw or the last couple of times that he's thrown, you know, it's sort of, you know, he's got to be throwing this when they're looking for that. You know, it's not like he can, you know, rear back in a fastball count and throw a fastball hitter, one of those things. So he's got to add and subtract with a curveball, a slider. You know, that's unpredictability, which is a big deal for him, pitching ahead. I mean, that's pitching 101 is important. You know, it's just it's bend, don't break. I mean, I think that's sort of what they do as a rotation, at least looking to me like whenever they go out there is bend, don't break. And I think he's sort of in that mix, right, of, you know, if you're taking the sting out of the bat, which I think what he's trying to do, right, if they square one up, try and make them square it up the other way, right? I mean, it's a way to big-time righties. It's a way to big-time lefties, right? I mean, if they're getting you, make sure they're trying to get you, you know, up the middle the other way. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't get too crazy. It is the White Sox. The White Sox are 7-31 on the road, Jeff. I mean, you can't make things like that up. I mean, that's so, you know, it's be a good
the Jays right where they want.
This would be I hope not. I mean, you just, again, I think with who's back, you know, with Hoffman sort of being rested, you know, with, you know, they haven't had to abuse Flaherty and Little the last couple of days. I mean, this is a series where, I mean, you're thinking sweepy. Because it's going to get a little tougher. You got to go on the road. You got the Red Sox. You got the Guardians. Got the Yankees. Going to be a little tougher then, right? I mean, you're going to have your boys being your boys. But it's sort of series like this, the way you've been playing at home, the team you're facing. I don't care if it's Turnbull or not. Go out there and do enough to give the lineup a chance early to have a big inning and then sort of let John fill in the blanks, let everybody else get out of there with a win, and then you turn it over to one of your bigger arms tomorrow. And I don't expect anything different.
The White Sox, by the way, have lost 8 in a row. That's a season high. They've lost 5 on the road as well. And we mentioned rookie Grant Taylor is scheduled to make his fifth career appearance and first start for the White Sox tonight against the Blue Jays. This is interesting. Hey, he went to LSU. He was a teammate of Paul Skeens.
Huh.
Just reading the White Sox. The White Sox roster notes.
Well, if you're the Jays, right, I mean, sometimes they have problems with guys that they've never faced before.
A lot of teams do.
Overthinking it. Not, yeah, I mean, they do, which teams they do. Shouldn't, right? I mean, that's sometimes you got to just not overthink it and think, okay, where's my happy zone? Where do I do the most damage? It's like Kirky, right? Kirky really don't like the ball down and away, so you sort of try and take it to where you force, you know, pitchers into the zones that you like to, you know, we're getting frisky with. And I don't think if you're a Jays lineup going into these games with facing some guys that you've never faced before, or you're not, you know, aware of where they're trying to get you out with, where's your happy zone? Let them. Sooner or later, they're going to do it. They're 7-31 on the road for a reason. And they're like 28th or 29th in baseball in offensive categories that matter. They're not real good. So
they are, now that you mention it, just so we can mention this. They are 7-31 on the road. That is the worst record in MLB, and it's tied for the worst 38-game start in franchise history.
Oof.
21 of their 38 road games have been decided by 2 runs or less. They are 0-14 in one-run games, 2-5 in two-run contests. And you talked about the offense. Just a little couple of numbers here. They're 30th in MLB with a .212 average with runners in scoring position this season. Over their last 9 games, they're hitting .179 with runners in scoring position. And they were, the previous 6 games, they were hitting around .400 with runners in scoring position. So they are You're getting the right team at the right time. I guess it'd be a good way to.
Well, the Jays are 6-1 in their last 7 series. Yeah. I think sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due. Where the Jays are doing all the things they're supposed to be doing.
Can I ask you
to win games?
I'm going to ask you this as well.
Well, you tried to downplay it,
huh?
You tried to downplay it, basically saying, you know, it's a good thing the White Sox are here. No, it ain't. Like, the Jays have been good.
Yeah,
everybody's doing their part.
But I said it's a good time too. By the way, Cal Raleigh has just has hit his second home run today. He's now got 29 home runs. That's the most by any catcher before the All-Star break. And well, we're still 3 weeks away from the All-Star break. That's 29 bombs from a catcher is outrageous.
Yeah, the things he does behind the plate as a switch hitter. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just. He's hitting elevated fastballs, which is not the easiest thing to do for a dude of his size to cover north and south. It's not the easiest thing to do. Yeah, he's happy. Like, I mean, he's one of them guys I think when they signed him was the best thing that happened to that organization. Just freed him up. Now he can go out there and be himself, which is a really good self.
Does this mean anything to you?
Absolutely.
The Blue Jays are 10 games over 500 at home. That is the second best record in the American League. Detroit is 26-12. Let me check somebody else. Sorry, Houston's 27-13. So the third best winning percentage at home in the majors. That mean anything? Are we at the point where the Jays are starting to reclaim, for whatever reason, a little bit of home field advantage here? Because we talked about that as one of the things that we kind of hadn't seen.
Yeah, well, Kirk, let's be honest. Kirky's been really good offensively at home. So's Bo. Vladdy's starting to turn the corner there. Barger's been a giant surprise. Springer's done special things. Like, offensively, they're doing a lot of good things, I think, coming into the season that you could probably poke holes at and say, you don't really know what you're going to get from certain guys. So that's helped a lot, right? Remember last year when, you know, the ball don't carry for us. It carries for everybody else, but it don't carry for us. You know, they must open the wind's blowing. It's like now that I don't think it's that way anymore just because of the approach. They've simplified it. Dudes that I think, you know, sort of the organization expected offensively to do things are starting to do it. So that's helped a ton. They're not real good on the road. I think, you know, if they play 500 and can play 10 or 12 games above 500 at home.
Four games under 500
on
the road.
Yeah, so it's not going to get any easier here, too, right, when they got to go to Boston and got to go to the Yankees and go into the Guardians with the pitching staff, right? You got to play better. You got to pitch better. You got to hit better on the road. Like, all those things have to add up to winning baseball games on the road. But, yeah, I think they're comfortable at home because of the offensive approaches are more refined, and guys feel confident that they can hit homers the other way. In the park, the ball is flying the other way better. Do I know why? Mm-mm. I've asked around. They don't know why. I don't think it matters. I think it's happening. That's what's the most important part out of all of that. And I think the Barger surprise is a big deal. And having a healthy Bo Bichette who rakes and is, you know, doing special things with runners in scoring position at home. So those things are, you know, I think the obvious things you can point at. I just think the ball carrying the other way at the Rogers Center is a big mental boost for the Blue Jays lineup.
Do we need to apologize to the American League East?
No.
We've talked about how the division was down this year.
Yeah.
The Yankees have the second best. First of all, Detroit has got the best record in the American League by 5 games. But the Yankees have the second best record.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay and Toronto are currently the wild card teams right now.
Yeah.
The Red Sox are 2.5 back. Sorry, Tampa's 2.5 back of the Yankees.
Let it beat you.
The Jays are 3 back of the Yankees. The Guardians are 9.5 back of the Tigers. Mariners are 5 back of the Astros. They're 6. The Angels are 6.5 back. Is the American League East become tougher than we thought it would be? And I guess the way I'd ask you that question is, how much of that is the Rays?
Yeah,
kind of pulling up their socks, so to speak. Kevin, they're 26-18.
Yeah, well,
against teams of the record of 500.
Well,
or better.
A couple of things. You know, I didn't think we thought that the Astros are going to be this good. I mean, they got 43 wins, right? I think we thought that the Tigers would be good, maybe not the best record in the American League good, but I thought they would be good. I thought
at least I did. I thought the Twins were going to be better. They're at 500. Mm-hmm. I think that's helped the American League East teams like the Blue Jays, right? Take nothing away from the Blue Jays. They got 40 wins, but they only got three more wins than the Twinkies.
Kansas City hasn't had the year a lot of people thought they would. Texas has been a big disappointment
as
well.
Yeah, I mean, Texas, there's some teams that have helped the American League East be better, but give the Jays credit, right? I mean, they could have folded when offensively they weren't real good to begin the season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was not hitting homers, not driving in runs, and some dudes turned some things around, and then you had some surprises, Kirky, Barger, Springers of the world, which has helped tons. I just think it's the other teams. The Rays, I don't think anybody but you maybe thought the Rays would be any good.
No, I thought this was going to be a down year for them.
Yeah, and I think we forgot too, the Orioles. I mean, me and you were the only group of people that thought maybe the Orioles were going to take a bigger step back, but maybe not this big.
I mean, I picked the Red Sox for last place. I picked the Orioles for second
place.
Well,
I picked the Red Sox to win the East.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. No, I picked. Yeah, what am I saying? Didn't I pick the Red Sox to win?
No, I wasn't listening. But I think you know. I picked the Orioles
to win. I picked the Orioles to finish last.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it.
I mean, it's impossible to get those picks right. But sometimes I think you just throw a bunch of names against the wall and pick the opposite of what I'm picking, which is fine.
Even a blind squirrel finds the odd
nut. Which is fine. But, I'm not sure we should be apologizing. I just think sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, the Rays are doing things in that park and just, have overcome whatever it takes to be a good team and stay relevant. So you got to give the Underground City credit for figuring out whatever it is. I mean, they're one of the best offensive teams in the American League.
Yep.
They are stomping things,
yep,
right? Even away from that park. So, I think it's more about giving the two teams in the Blue Jays and the Rays more credit than saying, look at the American League, how bad it is. I'm in that camp. I'm going to stick in that camp. Right, give credit to individual players for doing individual things. Right, Little's been a giant surprise. Right, Fluharty's been a really good surprise. Right, they've overcome Garcia not being here most
Eric
of the
Lauer's
year.
Filled in.
Tony Taylor's basically done nothing. Tony ground out. Tony not showing up. But everyone rename him. I mean, whatever. Yeah, it's like give credit where credit's due. I'm in that camp. I like being a half full glass guy. Hey, said it backwards. Then. Sort of pointing the finger at what other teams are not doing and give credit what teams are doing, which is cooler in my book. Mm. Yeah. Got caught you off guard with that Tony thing, didn't I?
Yeah, just a little bit there. Kind of wonder where it was going for
a bit.
Yeah,
every once in a while I'll get off the track.
Yeah,
I got to lean myself back on the track.
You're not really a person that should go around coming up with nicknames because a lot of times you tend to.
I keep it clean. I used to try and play.
Yeah, I know you keep it clean, but sometimes it's...
I used to try, but, it will be... Let's put it to you this way. It will be intriguing to see he comes back with Vladdy hitting third, how it looks if he is doing special things by hitting homers.
Santander talking about.
Man, like, that, if you're a Jays fan, I think, with all the other things that have taken place, and it sure sounded like John on that trip home from Philly. And, I picked a certain somebody up at the airport on that day off, and I saw Vladdy and John walking together. I wonder what they're talking about.
Well, John did make the point during our interview. He did mention Vladdy's contract, and, the guy's going to be here for 14 years, and
it's almost like Vladdy was saying on that trip home from Philly, hey, don't forget he's going to be here probably longer than you are.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have to put it that way.
Well, I'm sure it's a joking, ha-ha, funny, but it's a little bit of, you want to see the best of me? You looked at me, you seen my numbers in the three-hole?
I think it was.
It's obviously somebody said something that sounded to me like it was Vladdy that said
it. I think it was inevitable. I think the move into the three-hole was inevitable. It was just a matter of when we were going to see it.
Made sense
happen.
When they were doing it, but now it makes sense.
It would have made sense to do it in April.
No. I think it made total sense of what he did when he started the season, but it makes total sense of putting him in the three-hole now.
Jeff Passan is ESPN's MLB insider. He joins us next. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.